From WBUR in Boston, it's Weekly Warm-Up, a sampling of the cornucopia of stories and interviews featured on Only a Game, sports public radio style.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from Acura, featuring the Acura TL with Bluetooth phone connectivity. Learn more at Acura.com.
Only a Game is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
Each summer, some of the best young golfers in the U.S. travel around the country to play in tournaments run by the American Junior Golf Association. At one such tournament, at the Tedesco Country Club in Marblehead, Massachusetts last month, Monday, the practice day, was marred by rain for everyone except 17-year-old Sarah Jackson, who has a history of performing well in bad weather.
Yeah, I am a mutter. I really am. That's what my dad calls me.
Sarah's dad plays to a 10 handicap, meaning he shoots in the low 80s. I asked Sarah, whose handicap is 4, when she had first beaten him.
Oh, my God. Probably like 3 years ago.
So you were how old?
I was 14. Probably 13 to 14.
Maybe it was raining that day, too, at least for Dad. Her early success hasn't convinced Sarah Jackson that she wants to play golf for a living. In fact, she thinks she might want to be a high school math teacher, which perhaps explains why she's still living in the Northeast, unlike some of those against whom she was competing.
We are from New Jersey, but about a year and a half, we moved down to Florida in Orlando. Lake Mary, actually. Lake Mary, which is outside of Orlando.
Lena Pock is the mother of 16-year-old Isabel Hahn, on whose behalf the family relocated.
It wasn't easy. We thought about it and rethought about it. But and then she's the one who wanted it. She said, okay, I'm very serious now with golf. She wanted to play all year round. And she said, eventually, she wants to become a professional golfer.
Isabel, who celebrated her 16th birthday last Wednesday, is in no hurry to turn pro. She wants to go to college, though she won't knock her peers who've tried competing on the LPGA Tour as teenagers.
I mean, that's great for those players. They're very talented, but, I mean, anything can happen. You know, you can get hurt, you know, by accidents. So, I mean, education is just always there. Just in case you don't, you know, as long as you don't hurt your brain, then you're set.
So higher education is in the picture for Isabel, but that picture is still a little fuzzy.
Well, actually, UCLA sent me a letter and a questionnaire. They sent it to me my sophomore year, so they couldn't formally recruit me until next year when I turned junior. I want to go to Duke because they have a great golf team, and I guess Duke and UCLA, those are my one and two.
Not going to stay in Florida.
Well, I want to stay close to Florida because my teacher's there. I don't want to go all the way to California. Well, it is in California. Oops. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Find another teacher.
Or maybe we'll just fly back. Whatever happens, God knows.
Isabel Hahn can laugh about whatever might happen next, especially as she has already attracted the attention of at least one golf coach. But for the coaches, there's no giggling at a tournament like the one in Marblehead.
This is a worthwhile trip. I came here for a specific purpose. I had a chance to see what I came to see. I'm going to see it again tomorrow.
That's Sue Nias, the women's golf coach at Brigham Young University in Provo, Utah. And though she was willing to tell me she'd come to Marblehead to see one particular golfer, Nias wouldn't tell me who that golfer was.
Because if I do, then I violate the NCAA rules.
Seated under an umbrella at the first tee, Sue Nias watched the juniors hit their drives and then trudge into the drizzle and mist. Coach Nias wears a BYU jacket to the tournaments and a BYU visor, so though she cannot talk to the players, they cannot fail to know the BYU coach is watching. The NCAA also forbids Nias from calling potential players, although they are allowed to call her. All the rules are set up to protect the student athletes from the vicious coaches, Nias says. Assuming that this would be a frustrating circumstance, and given that the coach had already acknowledged that she comes to these tournaments dressed, in her words, like a placard, I suggested that maybe she should wear her phone number on the back of her BYU jacket, the way caddies at the Masters wear on their backs the names of the golfers whose bags they're carrying.
That's a good idea. I carry my cards, but no, I'll do that. I'm going to start putting my phone number up. That's a great idea. I like that.
So if the Brigham Young women's golf team suddenly gets great, you'll know where the triumph began. Sue Nias says she can spot talent in a golfer who's half a dozen years shy of becoming a freshman.
Well, they could be very young. If they've got some potential, it's pretty apparent, even if they're, you know, 12 or 13 years old. You see athletic ability. You see a person who's got balance and who can swing the golf club.
Can you tell anything about competitive nature at that age?
You can. And the other thing that's really important is you see how they treat their parents. If they're treating their parents well, then likely you'll be treated well. And if they don't treat their parents very well, or they're yelling at their dad who's on the bag, or you know, they're having family fights about the golf, then you know that maybe that's not where you want to go. So there's a lot to be gleaned from watching them playing these little events.
Of course, these events are not so little for the players. They haven't all relocated to find better teachers and a climate more hospitable to year-round golf. But according to Evan Harmeling, who'll attend Princeton in the fall and play golf there, a lot of the young men playing in Marblehead see themselves as future touring pros.
I'd say more than you'd think. I'd say maybe close to, like in a tournament like this, of 80 kids or whatever, 80 guys, maybe 30 or 40, like, at least want to. And I think maybe 10 or 15 think they have, like, actually believe that they have a chance. So that's a pretty high number.
Harmeling faced more pressure than some of the other competitors. His family lives in Reading, Massachusetts, just down the interstate from Marblehead, though he tried not to let that affect his approach to the tournament.
I'd be happy with anything in the top, probably 5 or 10. I mean, obviously I want to win it, and I'm not going to be completely happy if I don't, but I'm not going to be mad as I go out there and shoot like 85, 86, something like that. But, I mean, I won't get too worked up about it.
In fact, Evan Harmeling shot an exceptionally efficient 68 during the final round of the Tedesco Country Club event, but that was not good enough to lift him into the top 10. Isabel Hahn improved each day of the tournament, turning in rounds of 80, 77, and 74. She finished second. The top juniors will next gather on Monday in Village of Pinehurst, North Carolina, for the Golf Pride Junior Classic, except for the ones who will be at the tournament at the Rivercut Golf Course in Springfield, Missouri, or the Smithfield Junior Championship in Newcastle, Pennsylvania. Gee, for these kids, returning to school is going to feel like a vacation. My story about the Junior Golf Tournament in Marblehead, Massachusetts, will be featured on this week's program. We'll also have a story about the WNBA's Indiana Fever, a team that picked the wrong time of summer to lose 6 of 9, but looks safe for the postseason anyway. Beyond that, much as it pains us to do so, we'll be examining the state of bicycle racing in the aftermath of another Tour de France that produced plenty of positive tests. A decidedly negative development. So join us, and remember, you can always listen to the program at onlyagame.org.